they took the separator. And they had that separator out there, and it was kind of a bit cooler. There was a big tree here, and it was shady.
All right.
And I can never remember when they didn't have a separator.
That separator was the cream separator.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right.
And those are all shelves on one side of this building. And my mother would always take a big bowl of this fresh milk after it had been strained and put it on one of these shelves until it would sour. And my dad would take and skim the cream off. His treat.
What was that so?
Sometimes you put a little sugar on top of it. It was good. We could all sample it if we liked it. But it was so good. Just something that he liked. And she, I never this one, but I could remember that she ever forgot to not save off that milk for him.
Pretty interesting story.
One day, at least one or two days a week.
Now, to keep the milk from spoiling, you said they had it located or temporarily stored where they had a shade tree?
Oh, yeah, in that room.
Uh-huh.
And it was easy to keep clean.
All right.
And it had cement floor in it, and it had the drainage, so all we had to do was just wash it out.
Okay.
And it was done every Saturday. They kept us busy on weekends because otherwise we were in school.
How long could you store that milk then?
Well, they separated right away, and then they took it to town once a week. And that was with the man. They'd take it down on a Saturday. And if there was any groceries that they needed, that's when they would get. It'd be coffee and soap and sugar and stuff like that.
So.
It's kind of funny, you know, you learn how to do it. And then when I was 6 years old, Julie couldn't have any children. I saw the window. She wanted somebody to stay with her. So they gave me to Julie to stay with. And then I was so little, I had to walk to school. And I couldn't do it, go away to San Spain. Where I lived, where they lived, I was.
Yeah.
So I'm so short. I was always so short. So I had to. I'd go home when school started, and then that was just a short way from home to the schoolhouse.
Oh, I see.
You know, in comparison.
Uh-huh. If we could go back just a little bit to the old home place there. Housekeeping and those things. Do you remember how your mother was able to keep all the clothing washed, and did she have any kind of a machine, or was it done by hand?
Well, there's always the girls, so it was always done by hand for a while. But they had one room, the furnace room in the basement. It was all cement, and it was a big sink in one corner where they could rinse and keep things clean. And there was a washing machine down there, but it wasn't, I couldn't tell you what it looked like. it was old, you know.
Was that run by gasoline, maybe?
There wouldn't be gasoline. It must have been done by hand.
Hand powered?
Must have been. I can't. There was always some big voice around there, you know.
Now, obviously, everybody had to have hot water, or at least warm water, for washing clothes, we assume.
Yeah.
Do you remember how the water was heated?
Well, I had a brother that was kind of handy. And he had piped water into the furnace.
Uh-oh.
And so it's a good way for in the summertime, I don't in the wintertime, there's always hot, you know, hot water.
Well, that's pretty clever. I didn't know they had that in those days.
Good like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they had some kind of a heating coil put in the front.
That was Louis that did that. And when he was in the service, when he came home, upstairs, the water would come from the big windmill in the big tank on top of the hill, and it would be draining down to the top. But once they'd have trouble sometimes with it. So then they got a hold of a big tank, and he run pipes. So the water was upstairs in the kitchen, and was looked almost like these big tanks that they have for cattle. And they made a big cover over it, a wooden cover, so nothing could get into it.
That was outside or inside the
inside.
House?
Inside.
That was inside?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that way it kept the water, you know, quite cool. Because
mm-hmm.
with that big of many kittens around, there was always water running.
I see.
But in the wintertime, we'd always, they'd bank up the kitchen stove, so it would be, the heat would last way into the night, and it would be so cold in the morning. Then we shut the door, put the kitchen to the dining room, where the big brown oak stove stood, and we sat around it that night. My mother Card would run the spinning wheel, and she knit, and then she, I can remember, the older girl would sit, and we'd always sit along the edge of the house, the room, in the dining room. And a big bowl of apples or popcorn or whatever we wanted. Popcorn wasn't so hot that day, it seemed good to us kids.
Uh-huh.
And we'd pull this wool, get all of that junk out of it. There'd be chaff, you know, from the pieces of grass. That all had to be cleaned. And we did that after she had washed it. And this way it would go into the spinning wheel.
Did you have your own sheep then, Dorothy?
Yeah.
And
she,
okay.
And she took care of that. And she'd even shear them.
She would.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
It had to be done right.
I'm sure.
I got so sick. Oh, I got so tired of all the long stockings she would knit. She dyed the wool.
She did.
After it got spun, she would hang in skeins.
Right.
They had that up in the attic above the kitchen.
So life really was different in those days.
Oh, it was different. And then I also lived, there was also thing that they made rugs on upstairs. I don't know what they'd call it.
A loom?
A loom, yeah. And that was a great big one. And somebody, it was such a heavy thing, and I've often wondered what they ever done to it. Because I can remember playing with and working on it. But they every scrap of old clothes that wasn't any more good, we'd cut into strips. And sew them together, and then she'd run them in this, make carpets.
Wonderful. Yeah, they had ways to make things work out for the family.
But that's kind of what I kind of remember from home. We had, Dad was good about always seeing so there was plenty of food on hand. There was always a beef. Fall in the year. And pigs, which they'd saw down, and then I did the same thing. You know, you learn from them.
Sure.
And Grandma would make a lot of roasts. And of course, that meat would be hung into the smokehouse, so nothing could get at it. They needed some, they just go and saw off enough for maybe a week in the wintertime, and then they would not a, such a thing as a refrigerator or a freezer them days. But it was always nice and they had a table in the basement that stood on it in pails. And there were things that were filled with water. And nothing could get in. Yeah, it could go up the legs of the table, see? And they used that for to lay stuff on. And I did that too. I had, we'd get our wheat, take it to the mill, and but there was a place up by Travers. And they grind it, and they'd get three kinds of flour.
Oh.
And I used that all the time for baking. Made beautiful bread. Of course, it was sourdough bread.
I see.
So we used to have that yeast.
So you you did smoke some of the meats?
Oh, yes, the hams and the side pork. Render the lard, put it in the crotch, set it in the ceiling, and it was funny because in the basement where I lived, it was so nice and cold, wasn't it? And it was supposed to be the same thing over Solon. You're in the ground that deep, you know.
Oh, it helps, sure.
Yeah, and it was nice and cool. I even did that with hamburger patties. I made little round balls on hamburger. Of course, it had, I didn't put salt in it because that wouldn't keep them as good as it did. And it would thaw, nothing would. Sometimes it'd even freeze. We'd put it in the step in the cellar and it would let it freeze.
That's outside the house a little
bit.
Okay.
And that was we put on a big table in the basement. I put it in that way and you could open it, but every time you had to go down to the basement and open that, get some meat out of there. You would have to take a little lard with you that was rendered, that was melted, and seal it right away.
Could you explain that now? Seal it?
Yeah, I would seal it up again. And it would stay for a long time down there.
Is that right?
Because when it got really hot, it was, by that time it was all gone. But it was kind of nice to have a quick bad company.
I can imagine. Dorothy, about your brothers and sisters, were they all born right there at the house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, was there a certain midwife that you can recall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is Christine Larson.
Christine Larson.
Mm-hmm. She lived in down where the Ellingtons live now.
Okay.
They had to do is run and tell her. She was right there. Would come up right away.
Well, that's interesting too.
Of course, that was I suppose with the first younger when the older ones were grandma was would be there, you know.
All right.
I often wondered why people have to go to the hospital every time they have a baby. That's a natural. All mine were born right at home.
They were?
Oh, yeah.
That was a question I was going to lead
I
up
think
to.
That's why they're so good and healthy. And you never hear, I never heard of any babies dying that day. And think of the big families they had. And they didn't have to have all this stuff to prepare for a baby. Lucky if you had a diapers and a few blankets and a couple of shirts and then days, of course, they had to have that belly band and little nightgowns. That's all you needed.
tell us about?
Christmas is corn starch, or instead of powder.
Sure.
What else you gonna ask?
Well, I was gonna ask you about how did you get acquainted with Harold, and how did it all lead
neighbors.
Up?
Neighbors. We were neighbors.
You were neighbors.
I knew him. We went to school together back in years ago, kind of a little, at the schoolhouse.
Oh.
Of course, he was 6 years older than I was. He was a real rascal. But I think all the boys, they gather up. Sometimes they skip school, they go fishing or. Blackham's had that creek down there, had some nice fish in there. Of course, nowadays I think it's nothing left of it. The creek still goes there, but I don't know if it's very.
So you knew Harold then when he was quite small. That's interesting. Well, you were thoroughly acquainted with him then.
Yeah, I sure was.
Well, I wonder now if you would mind talking about your artistic abilities here a little bit. Could you tell us how you got into that?
Well, boredom, I think, more than anything else. I never had time when I was on the farm. It was just too much to do. And I had too many chickens. We had too many milk cows. We had to keep, you know, the cream. After the kids were all left home, and I had as high as 300 or 400 chickens. And I had some heavy ones that I would press for the hotel. There was a hotel in Omina at that time. And I would have five turkeys every Friday, and 20 hens. So they were nice and big. I'd start in March. For a while I had incubators. But every time a thunderstorm in the spring of the year, it candled eggs and did something to it. And they would appear now. So then we started to sit for them. And I had to watch them. I ran out to the brooder 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I was always scared of the dark. And I'd go out there and check so everything was okay. It couldn't, you know, it wasn't. I don't know how we heated it. It had to be because we didn't get the electricity down. Well, it could have been electricity. But I never trusted because it had to be, temperature had to be so.
Right.
Yeah. But I was very, I had real good luck with it. The weasel got in.
Really?
Oh, one day we saw it. I didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, I saw this little nose. I was a knot in the woods in the floor. That little nose came up. And as soon as the chicken would sit, he'd give it to pull, try to pull him through. And, of course, I had to get Harold to help me. They killed him. But, it was through getting 14, 15 chickens dead. I think they gave the blood. But I've seen them, but there was all these chickens were laying dead in the pen.
Oh.
They were small, so at the time, so. Well, we got that house downtown. But it didn't work. I had to get back into the country. So that's why I lived, that's why I'm having to get this lived here. And I lived here now for 20 some years.
And then it was then that you got started into making quilts?
When I was down there, well, that I started painting. Two or three times, and he showed me how to mix my paint.
Oh.
And, because he was an artist. And, I took it on from there. I did it on my own. I went up to Northport, where that woman up there was painting. She was quite well known. But, it was so far to drive.
What?
You pick it up.
I believe that you just have real great abilities, and it's very obvious that you have.
I used to draw when I was a kid.
You did? Okay.
And the Scandinavian newspaper is the most trimmed up paper you ever seen. And he's like spot on it that didn't have print, it had a picture. So, at that time, I had a Disney, the one, and I loved to read. From the time I was tiny, I would do anything I could lay hands on, I would read. So I started to paint, and then I took care of Margaret Laffer when she was sick and was small. I think I was down there going on 6 years. And, well, Dad was gone. That's when I started to make quilts, and then I got a pattern of a Little Women. And I, where it come from, I don't remember. But I made 6 of the Little Women quilts. And somebody heard about it, and they wanted me to send one to New York. There's a good house. Papers, but I don't remember. I don't know where they are anymore. And from then on, I started. And I made one for each girl, granddaughter. I must have made more than 6. Every girl got one.
You have 6 granddaughters?
I got 10 granddaughters. So every one you have a quilt. So, and then the Thea's at Charlotte got the 2 prizes. Thea got the bird quilt. You ever want to see a bird quilt? That's the one to ask.
I'd like to see that.
And then I got the auto book on birds and tried to follow the colors as quick, as close as I could. And then Charlotte says, well, she likes something, but she likes something. So we shopped around, we found a new velvet material. And I made her a crazy quilt. And all the pieces were really velvet. No really big pieces, kind of small. And on every piece, there was a design that I sewed on it. Either it would be a rose or a bird. Or I know one even had a big bee in it. And then, or pretty leaves. get all those blocks and put together. Well, that wasn't the first quilts they used, they made in this country. They made the crazy quilts. They took the backs of people's shirts and the backs of pants. And I used to have to help cut those things, so I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
And crazy quilts is what they really made. And you know, when I got married, I had 12 quilts. It took me all through the Depression, and I think the last one I throwed away when I was in such school. Now I live in that little house. You know, all the girls got the quilts, but the boys, I didn't. But there was twin boys. There's 10 boys, grandsons. And no wonder I got 25 great-grandchildren. So I am. But then I made the Bible quilt, so I worked on that. And to try to use your imagination and make the scenery look right, I scoured thrift shops, wherever I could find that would put neckties that would fit in, and make robes for the people. Trying to raise money for the church, I gave it to the church.
I have seen it done.
Well, after the Bible quilt got done, I made the one for some people in Grand Rapids, and that turned out just beautiful. And I charged them for it. And then another lady wanted one for her granddaughter, and she wanted some with country rabbits. The only country rabbits I ever seen was little brown ones, gray ones running around. I never seen anything, you know, with lop ears. But that's what I made her quilt with, lop ear rabbits. And I dressed them. And I put a lot of flowers around. I made different designs of faces, and it turned out very nice. Sold that to her, but that was the only two I ever sold.
Oh.
And I'm never selling anymore.
I see.
And then I've given a couple of to the senior center, and they got one down there now that they're going to auction.
Oh.
So that we can raise a little money for pay our debt. That's all right. Was there anything else you wanted?
Well, it's certainly been an interesting, very interesting visit with you, Dorothy. And I certainly appreciate this time with you. And I guess for now, at least, we would like to say that we certainly wish you well. There are many years ahead of you, and all the enjoyments you'll probably have in your artwork. And I would like to close with a statement that you have agreed to allow us to use the information you have related in this recording and have signed